Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? 'Cause Stone Cold said so.
All right, guys and girls, welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review here on the WWE Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Michael Ritter, and today we're going to be talking about the SmackDown that aired on January 22nd, 2021. And I do want to go ahead and apologize beforehand in case I sound a little bit under the weather. As some of you may know, I was not able to record a SmackDown review last week, the first week I had to miss since I started this back at the in the beginning of October. So definitely did not want to do that, but just to be upfront with you guys and kind of let you guys know what happened, I did actually test positive for COVID-19. I tested positive about a week ago. I've been dealing with symptoms though for about 8 or 9 days, so that's ultimately why I decided to get tested. I'm gonna start at about, as you guys know, I did the weekend review with Matt two Sundays ago, or not last Sunday, but the Sunday before that. And a few days later, that Wednesday is actually whenever I started to kind of feel funny. I guess you could say I started to feel a little bit of the symptoms. It really just started off, my back was hurting, and I wasn't really sure. I mean, I had to work that day just at my normal job, so I wasn't sure if maybe something happened at work that maybe made my back hurt just a little bit. And I didn't really think anything of it. And I went home that later that night. It started to get a little bit worse. And I started to kind of feel a little bit weak. You know, like whenever you feel like you're starting to get a cold or something like that, your body starts to kind of feel weak and you don't really feel like you can do much, or at least things that normally you'd be able to do, you know, like nothing. Even just simply getting up and walking around your house almost feels like it's tiring and exhausting on your body. So right away, I texted my boss and I just said, hey, I just want to let you know right now I'm feeling kind of a little bit under the weather. So tomorrow morning, if it's worse, I don't want you to be caught off guard. I want you to already know that, you know, I'm feeling kind of sick and I might, you know, go to a pharmacy or somewhere and go ahead and get tested, just so I don't spread it, you know, around my work or anything like that, just in case I do so happen to have it. And sure enough, I got tested that Thursday, got my results back on Saturday, and I was not able to record the SmackDown review, obviously, because that Friday was one of the worst days. And I actually didn't let Matt know up until about a couple hours, 3 hours before the SmackDown actually went on air. And that's mainly because I refused to wave the white flag. I did not want to accept that I was going to have to miss my first SmackDown. But as you know, that is what ended up being the case. Unfortunately, I really did not want to have to miss. I actually took a lot of pride in having the streak go, but it is what it is. I really didn't have too much of a choice. I didn't want to come on air and be, you know, just gasping for air, because that's ultimately what I was dealing with on Friday, was shortage of breath, fatigue. I knew I wasn't going to be able to do like a top five, and I don't think I'm still going to be able to do one for you this week. Unfortunately, I know I promised one of the Royal Rumble winners. I do still plan on getting that done before the Royal Rumble starts. I have one more SmackDown review before the Royal Rumble starts, so I'm going to do a top five, maybe even a little bit more, like a top seven or something, just to make it a little bit up to you guys for not being able to do it last week and obviously not being able to do it this week. But as some of you, if any of you of the listeners out there have dealt with COVID or know people that have, it is definitely something to take serious. I mean, I was wearing a mask. I must have contracted it somewhere, because like I said, I work outside and I work amongst people. And anytime we go in a public place or anything like that, our job requires us to wear a mask. So I don't understand exactly or specifically where it happened. So that's what kind of, you know, it's the confusing thing. You don't know what you did wrong or who you went around. It kind of just happens. And being that this thing's been around for almost a year now, and it took almost 11 or 12 months for me to actually get it with how much I am outside, I was actually kind of surprised. I kind of got to the point where I thought, you know, it's not going to happen to me. But sure enough, it definitely did. And I do not want to have to deal with that ever again. So hopefully all this stuff will be behind us in the very near future. But you guys did not come here to get a pep talk or a lecture about what is going on with COVID or anything like that. You guys came here for the SmackDown review. So we're going to get to that right now. And this SmackDown actually started like it normally does, with Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman coming out to the ring. And I will actually provide a little bit of audio for this segment. Something actually happened that I thought, you know, was pretty funny, kind of caught me off guard, definitely shook me a little bit whenever I was watching. But basically, this one starts off with Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman coming out to the ring, and they question Adam Pearce's decision to use his injury as an excuse to back out of their match at the Royal Rumble. And he goes on about how his body hurts, Roman Reigns that is, and begins to list everywhere on his body that's been injured over the years, including his back, in reference to him carrying the company for the past 5 years. And he even gets a little bit emotional whenever he mentions that it took his health being at risk and a worldwide pandemic to get him to finally take a break from WWE. And Adam Pearce eventually comes out to the ring to try to get Roman to stop, but all that does is cause Roman Reigns to start verbally assaulting him, calling him Kevin Owens' bitch at one point. So, and with Paul Heyman there staring a hole through Adam Pearce as Roman Reigns was tearing him apart, that is essentially where Adam Pearce draws the line. And I kind of want to let you guys know, or I want to let you guys hear what was said right there.
You haven't been in a match in what, like 4, 5, 6 years now? Six years. And you're going to come out here and complain about how your body hurts when you're sitting here standing next to the thoroughbred of the WWE, the guy who gets it done week after week for years now, 52 weeks a year. I've done it 5 days a week, 4 days, it doesn't matter. I've done it all, and I never complained. It never bothered me. I never stop because I bust my ass for this place. That's why I am who I am. And you're gonna come out here and you're gonna complain, you're gonna whine, you're gonna moan. No wonder. No wonder. No wonder you never made it to the WWE. That's funny to you, Heyman?
Yes! Yes, it is!
Look, I can stand here and I can take that from him and I can take the physical intimidation from him, but I sure as hell am not gonna take it from you. Really? Oh. He's disrespecting you. And if he disrespects you, he disrespects me. Paul, you better straighten him out. You just disrespected the tribal chief. You just disrespected his entire family. You know how long I've known this man's family? I've known this man's family since I was 15 years old. What, so his family's gonna hang out with someone that doesn't grow up to be a man? Do you know what it's like to hang out with the Anoa'i family? Have you any clue what that's like? So I get it, I understand. You buy into the persona that I put forth on television. You think I'm not capable. You think I'm impotent as a man. You don't think I can handle myself. I'm from New York. I'll whoop your ass, you disrespect my tribal chief. Don't stare me down, huh? Tell you what, I may not be a lawyer, but I come from a synagogue just full of them. And in the state of Florida, a verbal agreement is legal and binding. So you want a big main event for SmackDown tonight? You want something new and different and unique and huge? Adam Pearce, one-on-one, straight up, versus Paul Heyman. Your verbal agreement is official.
All right, I wanted to definitely provide that audio for the people that did not have the luxury of getting to watch that, because I thought that was pretty funny. Whenever Paul Heyman said that he's from New York and he'll whoop Adam Pearce's ass, I laughed out loud watching that at home. So I knew right away, I was hoping that I would be able to find the audio on YouTube, so I would be able to provide that for the episode, and luckily I did. So there you go. As you guys just heard, Paul Heyman was ultimately forced kind of by Roman Reigns to basically stand up for himself. We do hear a little bit more about that, about Roman Reigns' actual intentions there during the night. But yeah, I mean, the matches just keep getting weirder and weirder. I mean, first it's Adam Pearce versus Roman Reigns, and then we get Goldberg versus Drew McIntyre, and now we supposedly get Paul Heyman versus Adam Pearce. So definitely a first, and I was definitely looking forward to getting that match, but we will get to a little bit more of that as SmackDown rolls on. So moving on here, we will get to Sami Zayn, who comes out and actually handcuffs himself to the barricade kind of along the ramp, and then he declares himself for the Royal Rumble, which I think there's now about 10 people, almost one-third of the field, maybe, some around there, of the men's Royal Rumble match is fulfilled. They are staying true to the 30-man rule. I was kind of hoping, or I was kind of a little bit scared that they might eventually expand that with how big and how deep the roster is. So I am glad that they're staying true to the 30-man rule. I did have a little bit of nervousness that that might change, or that it might still change in the future. But as for now, it's still 30, so hopefully it will stay at that. But Sami Zayn is complaining about Apollo Crews pulling his tights to get the win last week, but he's interrupted by Asuka and Charlotte, who are coming out for their match against the Riot Squad. But Sami Zayn does stay out there for the near future of SmackDown, at least the next few segments that happen. Sami Zayn is still out there. But like I said, Charlotte and Asuka come out. So up next, we get the Women's Tag Team Champions versus the Riot Squad with Billie Kay at ringside supporting the Riot Squad. And this was actually a pretty fun match. Liv Morgan looked really good for the time she spent against Charlotte, and that was actually a majority of the time that she was in the ring. But Charlotte ultimately ended up dominating this match for a majority of the time that she was the legal member, and whenever Asuka did come in, she was always fresh. So the Riot Squad had their hands full in this one for sure. But Ruby Riott actually had Asuka pinned for 3 seconds, but the referee was distracted by Billie Kay on the apron, and the Women's Tag Team Champions picked up the win whenever Charlotte hit Natural Selection on Ruby Riott. And we move on. Like I said, this was a good showing from Liv. A little bit of dysfunction between the Riot Squad and their possible third member. We weren't really sure if she'd be an official member of the Riot Squad going forward. And we do find out a little bit more here, because the Riot Squad is shown backstage, and Billie Kay comes up to apologize to Liv and Ruby for costing them the match, and swears that she didn't mean to do it. But Liv says that for not doing it on purpose, she sure is pretty good at it. And Billie says that she talked to Sonya and confirms that both Liv and Ruby have been officially entered into the 2021 Women's Royal Rumble match. And that itself wasn't enough to keep the peace between the women, as Ruby Riott finally breaks the bad news to Billie Kay and says that she thinks that the Riot Squad will be better off without her. So as of right now, it looks like Billie Kay will have to continue her search for friends and possibly another tag team partner, because I do not think that she is going to be sticking around with the Riot Squad. But like I've said, and like multiple people have said, Billie Kay definitely has something here with this comedic role. So hopefully she gets to explore in that a little bit more. But maybe she will end up finding a tag team partner that sticks, so she'll be able to get a little bit more featured in the, you know, in the wrestling ring or in the women's tag team picture, especially if the champions are going to be on SmackDown. They can't only face the Riot Squad. I know that Natalya and Tamina were shown watching backstage, but still, we can definitely use more tag teams. So hopefully something is done. Maybe a trade gets worked out or something. Get Peyton Royce over here to SmackDown, or maybe even send Billy Kay to Raw. But hopefully it's the first one, because I do not want to lose the Iconics, especially if they do end up getting put back together. I would love for them to stay on SmackDown so I can cover them every week. That's a selfish reason, I know. As long as they get put back together, that's all that really matters. But preferably, we can keep them on SmackDown. But I guess we will just see what happens with Billy Kay going forward. Because like I just said, I do not think that she is going to be teaming up with the Riot Squad anymore. And up next, we get Daniel Bryan coming out to the ring to cut a promo, who is not dressed for action. And that actually does come into effect here later. And he walks by Sami Zayn, who's still handcuffed to the barricade just yet. He doesn't do anything to Daniel Bryan other than, you know, just a little bit of a face-off. Kind of has to acknowledge him a little bit, but you can tell that he has nothing to do with Daniel just yet. So Daniel Bryan goes out to the ring and he talks about the Royal Rumble and how it gives him chills. And then begins listing off reasons why, such as not knowing what number you'll be entering, the 10-second countdown each time a wrestler is about to come out, and the fact that the winner gets to fight for whatever championship he wants at WrestleMania. And he tries to continue his pitch that he's never won the Royal Rumble match, but he gets interrupted by Cesaro. And Cesaro comes out and says that he thought that he beat some sense into Daniel Bryan last week, but apparently he didn't because Daniel Bryan still thinks that he's going to win the Royal Rumble. And according to Cesaro, that is simply not going to happen. So Daniel Bryan challenges Cesaro to a rematch tonight, but Cesaro says no because Daniel Bryan isn't dressed the part. And then he immediately issues an open challenge to anybody else in the back, basically just to rub it in to Daniel Bryan that he does want to fight, just not him. And Dolph Ziggler comes out to accept that challenge, and then he makes a pitch for himself on why he's going to win the Royal Rumble. And that's what we get next, is a match with Cesaro versus Dolph with Daniel Bryan on commentary. And these two put on a wrestling clinic, as you would expect. Cesaro gets the clean win with the neutralizer. Really nothing to take out of this match. It was relatively fast. The match next, surprisingly, ended up actually being longer than this match. But this one is just kind of, if you paid attention to the commentary booth during the match, you can tell that Daniel Bryan is certainly a favorite to win this Royal Rumble. That really wasn't what I expected whenever he was, I think, the very first person to declare for the Royal Rumble match, maybe even from the women's and the men's. I think he might have been the first one to declare. So I really wasn't sure, but actually now that I'm thinking about it, they probably did that for a reason. I've seen them do similar things in the past with people who were highlighted in the match that usually end up having, you know, big showings. I could see Daniel Bryan getting a pretty early number and maybe even starting the match one or two. Because that's really what you need whenever you're starting a Royal Rumble match. You want someone who can carry a match and, you know, keep it interesting and who can ultimately go. Because usually somebody from the top five ends up having a pretty long run. If you remember correctly, AJ Styles, whenever he made his debut, I think it was like number 3 or 4 or something like that. They let him get, you know, quite a bit of time in his first Royal Rumble match just to basically introduce him to the fans, the people who weren't very familiar. I know I wasn't. I knew who he was, obviously. I knew that he came from TNA and that he had a really, long run there, basically synonymous with John Cena's run in the WWE. But I still didn't know. You know, I didn't know what he was capable of, obviously. He's a future Hall of Famer in the WWE. He's certainly somebody who is worthy of being in the main event. And I think that, you know, that's, if you're going to have somebody start the Royal Rumble match, then it has to be somebody similar to Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, you know, Seth Rollins. Obviously, he's probably not going to be in this Royal Rumble, although he might. I don't want to get too off topic, but people like that who, inside of the wrestling ring, they can carry a match. So, without getting any, you know, further off topic here, I do expect Daniel Bryan to have a pretty big role in the Royal Rumble and possibly enter, you know, maybe top five. I know he's not going to be probably in the middle, just stuffed somewhere, stashed in the middle of the card, I think, or in the middle of the match. I think he's either going to be in the very beginning or have a pretty late number and really get that pop from the virtual fans. I'm not really sure if they're going to have fans at the Royal Rumble. I doubt it. They'll probably save that for WrestleMania, as most of you already know by now. But long story short, expect Daniel Bryan to make a lot of noise when the Royal Rumble does come around. And up next, we get another match. This one was surprisingly longer than the Cesaro and Dolph match. This one is Sasha versus Reginald, who is obviously Carmella's sidekick, right-hand man, whatever you want to call him. He does have a name. I just can never remember exactly what it's called, and I do not want to mispronounce it, so I'm just going to go ahead and leave that one alone. But like I said, this one was longer than I expected. There was a lot of flips and high-flying action from, we're going to call him Reggie, just to make Carmella look like a, or not Carmella, to make Sasha look like $1 million inside the ring. He was doing a lot of selling, a lot of flying around, making her look, you know, pretty strong in order to throw, you know, a grown man around like that. And Sasha did actually have a little bit of a wardrobe malfunction, but still picked up the win here when she made him tap. This doesn't, I mean, this match again didn't really do anything similar to the last match. Kind of just continued treading water for Sasha and Carmella. And they are on a collision course for a rematch when you can expect that to probably happen at the Royal Rumble. Since we're getting in this close, that's usually what I say, is that if you're already this close, you might as well just wait. Save the championship matches for a pay-per-view. But at the same time, there's no guarantee that they are going to give this championship match to us, if not before the Royal Rumble or at the Royal Rumble. It's a very good chance they can maybe even just hold it off a little bit and give it to us after the Royal Rumble. But after this match, and Sasha picks up the win, we get Roman Reigns shown backstage with Paul Heyman. And this is where we find out a little bit more, I guess, to what Roman Reigns was intending to happen earlier in the night. And it begins with Paul Heyman telling Roman Reigns that he knows what he was doing out there, and that he, as in Paul Heyman, fell into it. And then Roman explains that he handed Paul Heyman the mic to do what he does better than anybody on the planet, and that's tearing him apart verbally. And he didn't expect Paul Heyman to make a match, but since he did, he has to go through with it and win. Otherwise, it'll make Roman Reigns look bad and basically make everybody stop taking him seriously. And I'm not sure if Roman Reigns said it himself or if the commentators said it. I do feel like somebody mentioned it at some point that Roman Reigns left the arena after this, so it made the impression that Paul Heyman was going to be by himself for his match. But obviously that did not end up being the case, and we will certainly find out a little bit more about that. And moving on here, we get Big E versus Apollo for the Intercontinental Championship. And this is where Sami Zayn was basically the whole reason. I mean, this is about an hour or so into the show, certainly over halfway at least. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how long it was, but Sami was out there for a big chunk of the show. And this is where he uncuffed himself, because he did interfere in the match and give Apollo Crews a haluva kick and then gave Big E one shortly thereafter. So the match obviously ended in disqualification. So Sami re-injected himself firmly back into the Intercontinental Championship picture and possibly going to get a rematch for that championship very soon. It does look like Apollo is inching a little bit closer to that heel turn. I was trying to pay attention to that. Obviously, I've been paying attention to, or I was paying attention closely to this match strictly to see if he was showing any more signs of a heel turn, and also to see if Big E is going to debut a new finishing move anytime soon. I was hoping that we would get that finish, but obviously the match ended in disqualification, so we did not get that. So I don't really know exactly where they're going to go with this, if they're going to keep a triple threat. I feel like Apollo certainly is not going anywhere in this Intercontinental Championship picture. Sami Zayn clearly not going anywhere either. It seems like this whole documentary thing that he's doing is based or centered strictly around the Intercontinental Championship and his conspiracy that he has been cheated out of it numerous times. So I don't know. You can expect Sami Zayn to stay there. I just think, I mean, all signs are pointing to this match being a triple threat at some point, whether it happens at the Royal Rumble. I do think the Intercontinental Championship is worthy of being on that card, even if it is a triple threat match, or if they go ahead and save that. But nonetheless, I do think that a triple threat match with Apollo and Sami Zayn is most definitely what's next for Big E. Up next, we get a virtual interview with Kevin Owens inside of his car. And Kevin explains what some of his tattoos mean, including the initials of both of his grandfathers on his knuckles. He explains how both of them had his back all the way, and it's unfortunate that they both passed away before they got a chance to see Kevin Owens perform in the WWE, but he still fights for them anyway. And he also mentions that Roman Reigns has yet to have a clean slash decisive victory against him, and references his sidekick Jey Uso having a lot to do with that. And we do see a little bit more of Kevin Owens here later in the night, although that was not anticipated, but we do get that, so we'll touch on that a little bit later. Moving on here, the Street Profits are shown backstage with Sonya, who, as you guys know, is in a little bit of a managerial role, or at least somewhat of an assistant to Adam Pearce. They're working together, and he just so happened to be busy preparing for his match tonight, so she was the person to basically to talk to if any of the wrestlers had a complaint, a concern, a comment, anything along those lines. And the Street Profits are shown walking up with a gift basket, and they know it's for Sonya. They plan on giving it to her. It looks like they're going to kiss up a little bit because they do request a rematch for their SmackDown Tag Team Championships. And she says that they certainly deserve a rematch and lists reasons why. So she says that without question they deserve one, but because of their injury, she can't do it. And she suggests that until they heal, they should hang out backstage, continue their comedy skits, and let some of the other tag teams get some opportunities. And they reluctantly accept, kind of a little bit confused. They give her the gift basket anyways, but it's still just a little bit like really, you're not going to give us this even though you just told us that we deserve it. So a little bit of something to pay attention to there. I'm not sure what tag teams are going to get an opportunity, but it's something to keep an eye on. I mean, the tag team division is not that deep, so I don't really know which team she was referring to. She must know something that we don't know or have something up her sleeve planned, maybe to make a splash in this new role. Hopefully she has some type of tag team tournament booked or something that might do something, you know, positive for the belts. But I do not think that's the case. They are probably just using an excuse to try to keep the Street Profits off TV for a little bit. Or maybe, you know, push a tag team that might deserve it. I know that Chad Gable does have a little bit of a role, him and Otis do, later on tonight in the obstacle course that goes on with Bayley and Bianca. They're a tag team I could see getting involved here. Maybe, oh, I'm trying to think. Gosh, I'm not really sure outside of the actual champions, Ziggler and Rude, the Street Profits. And when you think about Gable and Otis, I mean, there's really not that many other tag teams. So I'm just going to hope that Sonya has something planned or knows something that we don't know, because I don't know what tag team division she's referring to whenever she's talking about other teams getting opportunities, because that's not how they do things around here. But moving on here, let's see. We actually do get that obstacle course with Bayley and Bianca. And Bayley goes first, and she actually takes her sweet time. That's one thing I noticed. This is something to go, you know, whenever you do an obstacle course and you're timed, you're supposed to go fast, and she just was not doing that for some reason. Obviously, she was doing it on purpose, and it was all because after she's done, she requests that the course be changed to fit Bianca a little bit more. So she has some guys bring out some bigger hurdles and basically other things to make Bianca's course a little bit more difficult. And then after Bianca slices through the obstacle course that Bayley sets up for her, Otis is there waiting where Chad Gable was for Bayley to do the fireman's carry station. That's about 10 yards. They just pick him up and then carry him. And Bayley was struggling with Chad Gable, but Bianca was able to carry Otis with ease. So I thought that was pretty cool. But anyway, the obstacle course ended pretty decisively with Bianca winning with, I think, about 17 or 20 seconds to spare. And after not taking the loss very well, Bayley attacks Bianca and throws her into the basketball goal that was there, which is what the last part of the obstacle course you had to do was make the basketball goal inside the hoop. And Bianca does that. She crosses Bayley up, gets it in the basketball hoop, but it was not enough because Bayley, like I said, attacked her afterwards and kind of gets the upper hand on her right there. But that's ultimately what it took, was for her to get the upper hand, was a bit of a cheap shot. And just, you know, obviously doing some dirty work by throwing her into the basketball goal. So you can expect Bianca and Bayley to continue their little feud. I'm actually surprised this has been going on as long as it has with no titles involved. They've actually kind of been somewhat invested in this and giving it weeks and weeks of buildup, even if they don't do anything too big. I mean, I thought tonight was a little bit out there. I mean, they did something. They gave them a little bit of airtime, so I wasn't complaining to that regard. And especially whenever they still have, obviously, the Sasha and Carmella. So they are giving SmackDown, that is, they're giving the women's rivalries some time to develop. They're not rushing through this. So I'm excited to see exactly what happens to Bianca and, or what happens with Bianca and Bayley. But I do expect that the winner out of this feud is going to be next in line for Sasha. So you can probably expect that Bianca is going to be that winner. So I don't know. This close to WrestleMania season, Bianca and Sasha, I think I like the sound of that. And that definitely has a little bit of an enticing appeal to it. So something to keep your eye on, especially as the Royal Rumble creeps up. And you guys know how I feel about Bianca there. That could be her ticket to challenging Sasha, staying on SmackDown, and going for the SmackDown Women's Championship at WrestleMania. Moving on here to another match. Pretty quick one. It was Dominic versus Baron Corbin. This match stems from last week when Corbin defeated Rey Mysterio with Dominic on commentary, and Dominic kind of sort of gets involved a little bit because of the, I don't know what word you can say, instigator by Corey Graves as being an instigator, basically. But this match itself, this week, Corbin dominated this match early, as you would expect. And this, honestly, in my opinion, was Dominic's worst match in his young career. He didn't get any offense in at all, which was just a little bit surprising to me. I thought that Dominic would at least get, you know, a little bit of momentum here in this match, or at least a little bit of, you know, offense, like I said, but he didn't. I mean, he got beat down pretty much for the entire time. And anytime he attempted to get some, you know, momentum, Baron Corbin was just countering right away, so I'm not really sure what this was, but like I said, this was not a good showing from Dominic. There's really nothing else to say about it. Hopefully he goes back to the drawing board and works on his craft, because I don't know. I mean, Dominic just really, there's nothing really going on with him that's keeping me, you know, wanting to come back. I mean, he's not tied in with the Murphy and Aaliyah thing anymore, luckily. I mean, that's kind of just out of sight, out of mind. People forget all about that. But for a while there, that was taking up a lot of time on SmackDown. So luckily, it's not anymore. But Dominic has struggled to really find any kind of relevancy since then. I mean, not like he was extremely relevant then, but I mean, now he's struggling to get anything, you know, meaningful at all. He's getting squashed by Baron Corbin in like less than 5 minutes. So hopefully something happens with Dominic, because he is going to find himself moving down the card and ultimately going to end up on kickoff shows regularly. So hopefully he gets something going here in the near future. Maybe a tag team with his dad. I mean, just go ahead and commit to that tag team. Like I just said, there's not that many on SmackDown, so that could definitely be beneficial for both of them. So this may be something to keep an eye on. The Mysterios maybe commit to that tag team long term, so we can maybe see them have a run. I mean, father and son as tag team champions, I cannot remember the last time that's actually happened legitimately. And maybe there might be like a fluke. I'm not exactly sure off the top of my head. But as far as both men being active wrestlers on the roster, I cannot think of another time. So that'd be pretty cool for both of them to do. I mean, you have it right there in front of them. So, I mean, maybe even have that as their quote-unquote WrestleMania moment. So why not right now kind of start planting the seeds for them establishing themselves as a tag team going forward. And up next for the main event, we get the much anticipated Paul Heyman versus Adam Pearce, or at least that's what we thought we're going to get. Paul Heyman gave Adam Pearce a taste of his own medicine whenever he faked an injury of his own as he was about to climb up the steps to enter the ring. He tells Adam Pearce that like he's well aware of the card is subject to change right whenever Roman Reigns' music hits. And we get Roman Reigns coming out, and he finally gets to put a beating on Adam Pearce. The beating obviously starts in the ring, and then they make their way outside of the ring and eventually into the virtual crowd. Reigns threw Pearce into the LED board several times and had other things planned before he's attacked by Roman Reigns, who is disguised as a member of the stage crew. Roman Reigns doesn't go down easily, but Kevin Owens certainly gets the best of him tonight. He said on Talking Smack last week that he was going to send a message, quote-unquote, and he did just that. He gave Roman Reigns multiple stunners and eventually gave him a pop-up powerbomb through the announce table. And I actually thought it was pretty weird to see Roman Reigns on his back as SmackDown went off the air for the better part of, the last, 5 months. Roman Reigns has ruled supreme over the SmackDown roster, and nobody has really gotten the luxury of getting the upper hand of Roman, especially as the show goes off the air. So I thought that was pretty rare for Kevin Owens to get that, or at least to see, and that's something that I like with this Roman Reigns character. they don't let you see that very often. So whenever it does happen, it's noticeable, and you actually can appreciate whenever it does happen. I know I was awaiting something to happen with Kevin Owens. I thought that maybe Jey Uso was going to pop out in the crowd or something, and he was eventually going to fall victim to another beating at the hands of Roman Reigns and Jey Uso, but that did not happen, and Roman Reigns was the one on his back as SmackDown went off the air. So that's definitely something that I appreciated to see. I know we're not going to see it very often. This is probably the last time that Kevin Owens is going to get the upper hand on Roman Reigns, as their match is a little bit more than a week away at the Royal Rumble. So that is definitely something that you can expect not to see whenever the Royal Rumble gets here. Roman Reigns is probably going to get his revenge, and it is probably going to be pretty brutal. I'm not sure if the match is still going to be a last man standing match like it was supposed to be with Adam Pearce, and obviously he got replaced by Kevin Owens, so I don't know if the match still stands since the contract was already signed. They'll probably address that, or maybe they won't, and they'll just say it's a regular singles match or just continue on with the last man standing / no DQ, whatever the heck they want to call it. But nonetheless, we will still get Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens at the Royal Rumble for the Universal Championship. But that should cover it for the SmackDown review this week, guys. I do appreciate you bearing with me. This was a little bit of a struggle, or at least more than what it normally is. I'm not 100% yet. I am a lot better than I was last week. Hopefully, whenever I'm recording next week, doing the go-home show for the Royal Rumble, I will be 100% ready to rock. I do feel like I am in that, I'm going in that direction. So these shows are a little bit tiring in the meantime. I was hoping I would be able to do last week's. Obviously, like I said at the beginning of the show, I was not able to do it. This week, I definitely was able to at least give you what I was able to give you, which is just, you know, the full SmackDown review. Nothing too special. I wasn't able to do a top five. I will have that for you next week, though. Top five, maybe a little bit more special to you. I might do a little bit more. I don't think it's just going to be a regular top five. So now that I know I will be, you know, healthy enough, in a week I expect myself to be, you know, fully recovered, already back at work and doing everything like I normally did. I do not want to count my chickens before they hatch. So I don't want to jinx myself by any means, but I mean, all signs are pointing to that direction. I've been taking all my vitamins and stuff like that, so hopefully everything will be back to normal next week. I want to thank Matt again for filling in last week, getting you guys a SmackDown review. That's one thing I was worried about. For all you guys that do look forward to listening to this show every Saturday, I wanted to make sure you guys did have a little bit of content, and I wasn't able to do that, so I'm glad Matt was able to make sure you guys did get your weekly SmackDown review. So Matt, thanks again for doing that, and thanks for giving me the week off knowing I was sick. It definitely was beneficial. I would have come on here and gosh, I definitely wouldn't have been able to make it through a whole episode. So I'm glad that I was able to use that time to recover, hop on it this week, and get a little bit back into the routine. I'm glad I was able to talk to you guys, get back a little bit to the normal schedule. Hopefully, I mean, it seems like every time I say that, something crazy happens, so I'm not even going to say that. Hopefully, I'll be able to come back next week and be normal, have a top five for you guys, and obviously the SmackDown review. But until then, guys, I will talk to you next week.